I'm Evangelist Valerie Spivey Danzy.
And I'm Elder Mark Danzy.
And we'd like to invite you to listen to Marvell Ministries. Hey, it's Valerie and
Mark. Don't take that off.
Why he's always in my business? Why is he always in my business? Do y'all have husbands and boyfriends and daughters, and sometimes sons?
We're just trying to help. That's all we do.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, it's us. We're here. We're going to take another day that the Lord has made to talk about communion.
Wow. Yeah.
Holy communion. Now, there are a few holy communions, but this one we're going to talk about the one you take at the church, over there at the church, and why you do it, when you do it, and what are the ramifications of doing it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a traditionalist who feels like, well, I'm going to tell you what I was taught growing up. I'm not going to tell you what I feel like. I'm going to talk to you when I was growing up. So, well, and I really wasn't taught this directly.
Right.
But I was taught that communion is for people who are living their best life for Jesus. It wasn't for people who were in a backslidden condition. It wasn't for people who had never experienced Jesus and just happened to come by that day. It's not for those people. It's not for people who have even had been saved and were in trouble, you know, doing some things that they kind of knew better than to do, but were doing anyway. Those were the people that, when I was growing up, just didn't take communion.
Right.
And so as I've grown in the Lord and learned by reading, because the Bible tells you to study.
Yes,
so,
absolutely, study.
Studying is something that's a real thing that we should do, right, as it relates to the Lord. And as I had been to study, I found it was just a little different than what I either learned inadvertently or in some cases learn directly,
right,
about communion. Mm-hmm. So we're going to let the doctor, we're going to call him the Dr. Danzy.
Wait a minute.
No? You don't like it?
No, I have, doctor, no.
You're my dear cousin this weekend. She actually does have a PhD. Shout out.
Yeah.
Because I'm scared to say her name. She might give me.
Yeah, okay, don't say it.
But you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Because these three fingers are, I love you.
Right.
She wouldn't let me call her that either. But he did not do his PhD at this moment. No. Not to say that he will never. But at this moment, he just my reverend doctor over here.
And I like being that, y'all. I like being that. Yeah, I like being that for her. Yeah. But, and this may seem like a strange topic. But you guys have to remember what our purpose is doing this.
We have
podcast.
A real purpose here. We're not just one of those.
Yeah.
It's so hard for us to get on a lot of times. Yeah. We're definitely not the ones that are here just because we like to talk on the radio or the video.
We want to get, we want people to watch.
Sure.
But the reason we want people to watch is because there is a purpose.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
There's a purpose behind what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Because we see so many people
and
talk to so many people.
Oh my goodness!
About the fact that there's some misunderstandings out there that people have dealt with for years and for years and for years, and they've gone along with it, not even knowing why, and they didn't even know who to ask about these things.
Sure, and people have been kept out of the church, have been kept out of the will of God,
right,
because of something that they understood a long time ago that wasn't necessarily the case.
Yeah, it was more tradition than it was Bible.
Yeah, because we have our traditions. I mean, cultures, everyone, every area has those.
Every Reformation has.
But the thing about being a Christian is you've got to read the Bible,
right,
and understand it and work within the parameters of it.
Right.
Fortunately, the Bible gives you quite a few liberties, because we were also raised to believe that everything that we had to do as Christians was don't. Don't do this. Don't
right,
do that.
Right.
Everything was don't.
Right.
But it's really not. That's not the case.
It's not even that. And which is another.
Whole nother day.
Another episode.
I mean, another series.
Yeah. So watch for that.
The amount of stuff that they told us we couldn't do. We could finish out the year probably.
I'm telling you, we really could work on that thing. But with this communion deal, you know, I was born and raised Kojic. And so...
But just you?
You know, I'm just saying, from my own, I can only speak for Mark.
Oh.
And so that's what I'm doing. I speak for myself.
I had been raised that way too.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you have. And you don't ever let us forget it.
Just like y'all, Cleveland Browns.
You heard me?
I am a Kojic girl for life.
For real.
If I change denominations and maybe if the Lord sends me someplace else.
Yeah.
In my heart, just like you live here and you're a Cleveland Browns fan, I'm going to be Kojic.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's totally fine. But what we have to make sure, though, is that even while we're being Kojic, and while we're being Baptist, and while we're being Episcopalian,
right,
Methodist,
and there's nothing wrong with your denomination.
But at the end of the day, we have to be holy. And in order to be holy, we have to do it the way the scripture says.
Exactly.
And so that brings us to this communion deal. And so there was a person who came and asked the question about it, because some time ago I spoke to this person because I noticed that, you know, for whatever reason, they weren't taking communion.
Right.
And the Spirit of the Lord moved me to go to this person and to say to them, you know, that they should be.
Mm-hmm.
But they felt some kind of way about how they had been taught growing up that,
oh,
you know,
yes.
if you got some things going on, you know, you shouldn't take communion.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Never mind the fact that before we take communion, we always examine ourselves.
Woo.
in hopes, and this is what we do,
in hopes
that we could somehow make ourselves worthy to take communion.
Exactly, because I'd be repenting down just for good measure. I don't think it's going to hurt to repent. Just in case I forgot something, Jesus, if you don't mind, would you please forgive me?
But here's the truth of the matter. The truth is that if all of us, if communion was about things that we've done wrong,
mm-hmm.
nobody would be worthy.
Well, we didn't start off worthy. We were born into sin.
Yeah.
And in sin did our parents conceive
us.
So how we go?
Yeah. So that's why we felt it important,
right,
that we touch on this subject, because
sure,
there may be a lot of people out there who feel some kind of way and for whatever reason are not taking communion. But communion is more than that.
Much more.
Okay. It's more than that.
Sure.
And we're going to touch on a little bit of that, hopefully, in this next few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But let me start by saying this. Communion is not about you.
That's the thing. When they taught us about when and who and how,
yeah,
we should commune with God,
right,
they said, if you did this, if you were that, if you had this going on,
right,
communion ain't about you.
It's not about you. It's not about anything that you've done. It has nothing to do with your sin.
No.
That's not what communion is about.
Nope.
Okay. But we have, over a period of time, we've made it about us, when communion is actually about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what communion is about.
Mm-hmm.
People have missed their blessings. They've missed their deliverance.
Oh, gosh.
They've missed so much because they allowed others to make it about them.
Right, right.
Okay? So what we need to actually understand is that communion, first and foremost,
mm-hmm.
is not about us.
No.
Okay?
It's just not.
Now let me just read you something here. I want to take you to the scriptures, and most of us know this already, know where I'm about to go, but I'm going anyway. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter,
mm-hmm.
okay? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, okay? And I'm going to start about the 17th verse, okay? So let's see what it says. Now I may read a few verses here, so just hang on with me. But in the following instructions, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, I cannot praise you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, go ahead. I'm about to share this with people.
She's doing stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. But in the following instructions, I cannot praise you. Mm-hmm. For it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. They were having a little problem. There was something going on. They were having a little issue. Okay? First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. And to some extent, I believe it. But of course, there must be divisions among you so that you who have God's approval will be recognized.
Right.
When you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to be...
Okay? You're not really interested in the Lord's Supper. That's vital. And that's going to be the basis for what I'm going to tell you in just a little bit.
Right.
Okay? So you're not concerned about the Lord's Supper. For some of you, hungry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while mm-hmm. others get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
The verse 22, what? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you
right.
for this. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. And then it goes into talking about that night that the Lord had the Last Supper with his disciples. And you can read that in your own time. But here's what I want to bring to you. He says, after he took the bread, he says, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of who? Mm-hmm. Me.
Mm-hmm.
Do this in remembrance of me.
Right.
That lets you know right off the top, this is not about us.
No.
And it's not about our sin.
No.
It's about remembering his yeah. broken body,
right.
Jesus Christ. Okay?
Right.
And then in the same way, he took his cup, a cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people,
mm-hmm.
an agreement confirmed with my blood. In other words, the King James Version says that that it's his blood, and take this for the remission of sin.
Right.
Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. So there again, we're told that communion is not about us. It is about him.
Yeah.
And his blood.
None of that said about you. It was not about you.
For watch, then this is the key. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.
Right.
And so anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Now,
that's where they triple suck.
That's where we get messed up right there. So now we think that if we eat and drink unworthily, in other words, about our sin,
mm-hmm.
that our sin makes us unworthy to eat mm-hmm. and drink of the Lord's body. No.
That's what they told us.
That's what they told us. But that's not what it's saying. That's not, it still has nothing to do with you. Okay? Communion is about the remembrance of God's, Jesus's broken body mm-hmm. and his blood that was shed for the remission of sin. But when you eat this bread or drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, what does that unworthily mean?
Uh-huh.
It means that you have done it not understanding why you're taking it.
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding what he did and what he accomplished with his broken body
right.
or with the shedding of his blood.
You're being ritualistic. You're just doing it just because that's what, you know, it's First Sunday. If that's what you all do, then First Sunday, you just come in and you do it because everybody else doing it.
And the previous verses told us what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
You got some people who are coming together. Now listen, there's always been two groups of people that come to church.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are saved and those who are not.
Yeah, generally.
And those who are saved understand that communion is about the Lord's body. And we're saying, this is what the Lord did for us on the cross. He broke his body, okay, for our healing. And he gave his blood for the remission of our sin.
Mm-hmm.
They understood this, and this is why we take it to remember these things.
Right.
But those who are not saved, they were doing it because they was hungry.
Well, no.
That's what he just got finished saying.
Because the way we have it, it ain't going to help you.
It ain't.
If you're hungry.
but if you watch the little kids want to eat and drink too. But they don't even understand what.
Right. We haven't taught them what that is.
And people who are not saved are doing the same exact thing.
Sure.
They're just doing it out of tradition and out of being ritualistic. And they do not discern. Do not discern. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible says. They do not discern the Lord's body or his blood.
So they're irreverent because they don't reverence it because they don't understand what it is.
They do not understand what it is or what it has, what he has done.
Right.
In his body and with his blood.
I don't know how y'all feel about Easter, but Easter is real heavy for me because somebody did something to Jesus and I ain't happy. I feel some kind of way. So even when I go through communion and we're talking about that someone would do that for me without physically knowing me, without having any connection other than what God has given him, which is a lot, would do that.
Right.
It's big for me.
Absolutely.
So especially as a music person, I have a ticky little thing about how you do certain things, and communion is one of them.
Absolutely.
Because you have to understand, your heart needs to understand, your mind needs to understand. Yeah. And so that your delivery, as you go out, even when you're in the audience, if you're in the audience and you are a little too chatty at this time, I feel some kind of way.
Yeah.
If we're up in the choir loft and we're singing bad notes or distracted, I feel
got an issue.
Some kind of way.
Right.
Because this, what he has done and what we are here for is so important that this stuff shouldn't be named among us.
Absolutely. We ought to do it reverently.
Yes.
And with the total understanding of what his broken body meant and what the shedding of his blood meant.
What does this mean? And if you don't understand, I'm hoping that you getting some understanding here.
Yeah.
It is important to reverence him. It's important to not do this unworthily. You need to understand. You need to know
but what that unworthy, this is about. But that unworthy
means you use ignorant more than anything.
And that's what it means. You're ignorant of his body and his blood. It doesn't mean that you did something wrong this week.
Well, because you know, we can say, wait a minute, I think I cussed at so-and-so.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Because
look. And that ain't good, but that ain't it either.
Because if you didn't ask for forgiveness before Sunday,
before
the first Sunday.
Right, before first Sunday.
You got some issues already.
Already.
Okay. It's not about that. It's not about your sin. It's not about that. Because watch this. If you poll the room, see, it's more about... I'll go one step further. If it's going to be about sin, it's going to be about your lifestyle, period.
Right. It's not going to be about
one situation that you had.
It's going to be bigger.
It's going to be about your complete lifestyle. Because either you're saved or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And in being saved, we must understand that Christ died, his broken body and his shed blood, once and for all, the Bible says.
Mm-hmm. For you.
Okay.
With your foolish self and your foolish ways.
Yeah.
Stop that.
Yeah.
He's opened the door and made the way through this venue that you can get salvation.
Yes.
Now you out there doing all the things.
Yeah.
Because you want to.
Right.
He did this because he wanted to. This was a gift for you.
So let me finish this thing about this person that came to me with this question.
Sure.
And so the person told me, shout out, you know who you are.
Yep.
Said.
And still, the love.
We had this conversation 2 years ago.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this person had not taken communion for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Steady coming to church.
Right. But she was dealing with her life.
Steady struggling.
Yeah.
Okay. As we all struggle at times.
Dealing with your life.
But did not take communion. And watch this. She remembered this conversation and said to me, when I decided to go and take communion, that's when I got delivered. If you're listening to us, you
baby
really ought to be shouting right now.
Baby girl, such a testimony.
Yeah, you ought to be shouting. Because
I'm
listen,
trying to be contained. Yeah. Y'all don't know me like that.
You don't understand. When the testimony goes forth and says that when I finally realized, I went ahead and took communion, and that's when I got delivered. Why? Because now you have said to others that Christ's body was broken for you, and his blood was shed for the remission of your sin. That's when it's personal.
Well,
that's
yeah,
when it's
and,
about
and
you.
It runs back the other way as well.
Yeah.
You showed that, she showed that she had faith to believe that he has done that
yes.
for her.
Yes. It, watch this. It's just like baptism.
Yeah.
Baptism is an open sign that you have accepted Christ as your Savior and have, as the Bible says, been buried with him in death. Mm-hmm. And we're raised up with him in resurrection hour.
Yes.
Okay? It's the same thing. When you take
it's
communion, you're showing his death until he comes. His death, burial, and resurrection until he comes.
Uh-huh.
And when you recognize it, mm-hmm. it becomes power in your life.
Yeah.
And when it becomes power, there is deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that all over when I just said that.
Ta-ta, Jesus.
there's power in showing forth his death and suffering
yeah.
and resurrection until
yeah.
he comes.
Yeah.
So those of you who may have felt guilty about taking communion because of what somebody said to you or said about you in the past, forget about
sure.
that. We have to begin to live according to what Jesus said about us.
Sure. And all that other stuff the street said,
that
he ain't say that.
He didn't say that. He ain't got nothing. Matter of fact, what the streets think about you ain't none of your business.
Trust, it's none of your business.
It's none of your business.
What they say about you is none of your business.
No. Only what Jesus, the scripture says this. If you live according to how? What Jesus said.
That right there.
Out of your belly.
Woo, shall flow.
Shall flow rivers of living water.
Life.
If you believe on me, as the scripture has said, and how is that? That his body was broken for you,
mm-hmm.
and that his blood was shed for the remission of sin. If you believe that, as the scripture has said it, out of your belly shall flow rivers
yeah.
of living water.
That's how that rolls.
Yeah, that's how I go.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, it doesn't go any other way. So our purpose is to let you know that when you hear some of these things that we got going across our pulpits and whatnot, that you need to get a full understanding of what he's really saying, of what the scriptures are really saying.
Sure.
And that you must at all costs reverence and remember Christ's body and blood until he comes.
And that's personal.
That's personal.
It doesn't matter so much what the tradition is.
Yeah.
That's very personal.
That's very personal. That's about you.
Yes, that part's about you.
That part is about you. But the communion itself is not about you. But it becomes about you when you recognize it,
mm-hmm.
participate in it,
mm-hmm.
and understand fully what it means.
Right, because he's giving to you and you're giving back to him.
My God.
In your reverence.
Girl, say that one more time.
Ooh.
Yeah, in your reverence.
In your reverence.
In your obedience.
Because I felt like, what was it? When they do the baptismal in obedience.
To the great head of the church.
Huh.
Yeah, this is what he told his disciples to do. Wait a minute, and watch this. Let me throw this in before we run to a close.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Guess who else took communion that day?
Ooh.
Mm. The one who was about to deny him.
Yes, he did.
Three
he did
times before the cock crowed.
He was busy.
The one who was about to run out and betray him.
Woo.
The one who was going to doubt his resurrection. Come on, somebody. Come on now. I can't make it any plainer than that.
So if you really think about it, you know all these people.
Yeah, you know these
you,
ones.
You know these people. They may not go under these names, but you know the one that's greedy.
You
know the one that's gonna give you up for a couple dollars. You know the people.
Wait a minute. The two who call their mama and ask their mama to say, hey, Jesus, can you let one of my boys sit on one side and the other one sit on the other side?
That.
Them folks.
All of them.
Come on. Y'all know who
so
we're talking about.
You talk about the Bible and you don't understand the Bible. And you know them folks.
You know them. Yeah. They still around.
They still here.
Yeah. So we just want you to understand clearly what communion is about, and the fact that you still should be participating, because in the communion, his broken body provides healing for your body.
Ooh.
Healing for your mind.
Do we have any things in here at the house? I might need some healing.
Lord Jesus. And his blood provides the remission of our sin and the salvation that we so desperately need and seek after even now.
Ooh.
Can we pray with you?
Thank you, God.
Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your broken body. We thank you for your blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. Father, we thank you for understanding and for wisdom. We thank you for the word that you've given us so that we might not sin against you. Now, God, I ask that you touch those that are listening to this broadcast today. Touch them, oh God. Give them understanding. Oh God, we ask that you release the guilt now in the mighty name of Jesus. Release it now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, and the very next time that they participate in communion, Father, we ask that you just touch their minds and hearts. Deliver, set free, heal in the name of Jesus. Then God, those that don't know you in the pardon of their sins, let them know that you will be their Savior, that you're standing at the door and knocking. And if they open up, you will come in and sup with them, and they will be your people and you will be their God. Father, we just thank you and we bless you right now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen and amen.
We are so excited to always come to chat with you just for these few minutes.
Absolutely.
Make sure you like and subscribe. Check out the...
All of that stuff.
Right there.
Yeah.
YouTube, Facebook.
Yeah.
Make sure you share these messages.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. We love you a whole bunch.
Amen.
And we thank you.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Next time.